I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and columnist Gustavo Arellano. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas. What's up? Welcome to the shop. What's new?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, man. Good.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? CNN's Latino in America feature... it debuted this week. Now, it's in the tradition of the Black in America joint. It's hosted by Soledad O'Brien, and, you know, it's looking to highlight changes and challenges in this particular minority community. Gustavo, did you check it out, or did you skip it, bro?
Nah, I was watching the Dodgers get their butts handed to them by the Phillies. Really, really sad.
You didn't need to know any more about Latinos in America than you already know.
Oh, Lord.
No, I mean, I appreciate it. I do think CNN was overplaying just the significance of it. They're thinking, like, this is the epic, groundbreaking series. Those were their own words. And I understand the necessity, especially in this day and age, when on that same network, on CNN, you have a blabbermouth liar like Lou Dobbs going on and spewing all sorts of vitriol. But at the same time, as somebody who grew up in that, the stories that they're telling, I know those stories. They're my cousins. They're my friends. They're my my classmates. So I applaud CNN for what they're doing. But somebody like myself, I'd probably only see it just to point out discrepancies. Or to me, the thing that really annoyed me, this is something that annoys me whenever it comes to talking about Latinos in America, the soundtrack is always salsa music. Folks, we also listen to tubas and accordions too, you know?
Right.
Tuba.
You know what? I've officially boycotted all these Blank in America features, you know, because it comes across to me as kind of cheap seat anthropology. It's kind of like Roots for Dummies, you know, and yeah. I'm over it. I'm over it. You know,
so if we do Dreads in America, you won't be feeling that.
I'm totally over it. It's kind of like, you know, if you don't know somebody of color by now, it's by your choice, you know, so don't welcome us in your house via CNN, you know, forget about it.
Well, Ruben, I'm interested in Arsalan, what you guys have to say, but I have to say I learned a lot. And there are things like the fact that, Garcia is the eighth most common surname in the United States.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Right. And this is radio, so we can't show it to you. But there's this, I thought it was very beautifully produced opening montage of all the different faces. And I just thought, I don't know, I learned some things. Ruben, what did you think? You're not,
well, listen,
you aren't drinking the Haterade.
Yeah, this was always going to be a difficult balancing act. I think CNN pulled it off. You've got to balance out. You got 47 million people in the country, 51 million if you count Puerto Rico. And you've got people who in those backgrounds are Cuban, Dominican, Puerto Rican, you know, Guatemalan, Mexican, all in the pot. And it did an amazing thing. I mean, in many of these cases, you'd see a documentary like this, it would only be about Mexicans or Puerto Ricans or whatever. It really sort of balanced it out. It also balanced the negative and the positive. You know, Soledad O'Brien is a real journalist. She wasn't out there to do propaganda for the gente. She wasn't out there to just put out cotton candy and lemonade. She put out the dropouts, the teen mothers, you know, the gangbangers, the lowriders, the tattoos, the whole thing. In addition to the entrepreneurs, the self-made folks, the successful folks, all that stuff. So in that respect, it was very honest. I think it was very well done.
You did write in your column, Ruben, wrote about the series that at, well, you do also disclose that you are a contributor for CNN, that you said that there were some public screening events that you were aware of where people criticized the series for trafficking in stereotypes. Tell me more about that. What stereotypes did people think they were trafficking in?
Many Latinos, they are sensitive to the fact they've been left out of the mix and they don't get their fair share of media attention. And so they want something like this to be pretty much, as I said, all cotton candy and lemonade. Just tell me all about the Harvard graduates and the Yale folks and the, you know, pediatricians and the professional engineers and all this stuff. And forget about all the Latino gangbangers and drug users. It's just not accurate, though. And Soledad O'Brien's been getting a beating. You know, she's been treating her like this piñata everywhere she goes, as if somehow CNN should have come forward with this much rosier picture of Latino life in America.
I asked Soledad about that when I interviewed her earlier this week. I was specifically asking her about some of the stories that she covered in the series. One, for example, about an unwed teenaged mom. Another about a young girl who'd come here undocumented and alone, who is now in detention. And I said, look, some of these stories are not going to be well received. What do you have to say about that? This is what she had to say.
For people who are not interested in that or feel like, well, you shouldn't be covering that, I guess I don't sort of try to check off the box in terms of what everybody's going to feel good about. I try to do stories that are compelling and thoughtful and nuanced, because there's no right or wrong answer.
Arsene, we haven't heard from you. What did you think?
Well, you know, for me, as a documentary junkie, I loved it. I don't think that I can ever learn enough about anything. And, you know, Jimmy was right when he called it, you know, Roots for Dummies. You know, for dummies like me who want to understand more of the nuance, I mean, you know, we may know people of every color, every ethnicity, but to understand the issues that are of importance to a specific minority demographic group, for a civil rights lawyer like me, is right down my alley. What I did find interesting is I did see a bit of an excess in terms of the immigrant nativist narrative undertones. I wanted to hear more about the George Lopez's, the Salazar brothers who've become senators and congressmen, Bill Richardson, the tangible middle class that have been here for several generations. I think there was a very heavy emphasis on the immigrant nativist narrative. You know, you had the Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Arizona, then you had the case of the Panda Express 11. You know, it seemed a little heavy on that.
See, I don't buy that. I tell you what I think, though. What is not so much about the immigrant nativist dialogue, is because it really isn't about that. It's
right.
Really not about that. But what I did mind is having the kind of general audience, if you will, represented by a Sheriff Arpaio. I'm sure there are plenty of Americans who may have some ambivalence around immigration, or they may have or high rates of immigration, who may not agree with Sheriff Arpaio or Alou Dobbs, for example. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop, and we're joined by Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Ruben Navarrete, and Gustavo Arellano. Back to you, Jimmy.
All right, mi hermano de otra madre. Let's keep it in motion, eh? All right. So, you know what? The Bloom Boy story is still afloat as people wonder if the Heaney should lose custody of their children. Y'all, you'll recall that Richard and Mayumi Heaney, they're currently answering charges, hoax charges, behind that whole kerfluffle with the runaway balloon. A-Train, I wonder, I don't know if it's against the law to convince your kids to lie for you. Because if it is, you know, I need to be on the lam. What's up with that?
Yeah. I mean, I ain't going to lie. This Balloon Boy incident gets the Redunculus Award of the Week. It's kind of just mind-boggling to see what the culture of celebrity has come. You have two people who are apparently, you know, professional reality television contestants who had taped two episodes of the show Wife Swap, apparently seem to pull this, you know, massive charade, and then on Larry King Live with Wolf Blitzer have their 6-year-old son Falcon Heaney on national television say, you know, quote, you said that we did this for the show.
Do you want to hear that, by the way?
Sure.
This first, once again, on CNN, Wolf Blitzer had an interview with the family and who seemed to be doing quite a lot of interviews, and Wolf asked a specific question. This is what happened. Here it is.
Did he hear anything? Did he hear you screaming out, Falcon?
He's asking Falcon, did you hear us calling your name at any time?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
You did?
Why didn't you come out?
You guys said that we did this for the show.
No!
Whoops.
Oh, that
kids
kid
say
out.
The darndest things, don't they?
I tell you.
Wow.
So,
Wow.
I just have to point out, though, that this little boy is six.
He is.
You know, kids in their time references, I don't know. Ruben, you have kids the same age as mine, and I have to say I'm so troubled by the whole thing. I know a lot of people writing about the fact that, you know, why do they have these kids on TV, and are they, you know, professional reality show hucksters and things of that sort.
What's
I understand those questions, but the fact is this child is six, and I'm just not sure.
Like, you mean in terms of not being a credible witness?
Well,
I mean,
when my kids, if you ask them when something happened, they'll say, you know, yesterday or last week, or that's their concept of time is very different than ours, and their concept of causality is very different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't.
Well, you have this other adult now, this co-conspirator.
Really,
a third authorities are talking about a co-conspirator who discussed this plot with the Heaneys, you know, months ago. And so I think authorities are not going to go and file charges just based on that one utterance. There's more there. It was certainly that utterance that got them to go back in and re-interview the Heaneys again. And so I think that's significant. The thing about this story that's just heartbreaking is that one of the best things about the American people, it's in our DNA that when we see someone who's in trouble, let alone a child, we drop everything and we try to help. The National Guard had two helicopters up in the air that day, shepherding this balloon. The police were on alert. People all over the country were holding their breath and saying prayers for this family because we thought a boy was in that balloon. And Michelle and I were talking that day, corresponding back and forth as parent of young children. Collectively, we held our breath, right? And this is shameful what they did. It's sinful because they took that very great thing about Americans and they sinned against it. They exploited it for their own 15 minutes. Shame on them.
Absolutely.
If true.
Well, and from a legal perspective, Michelle, you know, it's important to understand that because, I mean, the Wolf Blitzer Larry King Live was the quote-unquote aha moment. From a legal perspective, the child might not even have to testify in court if it does ever proceed to court. They could, you know, authenticate, you know, that video of the Larry King Live as the testimony if a jury or a judge believes that the child was telling the truth. I mean, there's a term in the legal field called shielding procedures. And you know, it disallows a minor's testimony, usually in cases of violent felonies or sexual offenses. You know, they can do it via a screening process where they'll actually place a barrier in front of the child. They could videotape it or do it through CCTV, closed-circuit television, which can be contemporaneous and simultaneously broadcast also.
Here's my thing. These people are obviously defective parents. If you haven't seen the video on YouTube that they put out there with their kids and all the profanity, you know, and the leniency with these kids and the way they're raising these kids, And the pursuit of this reality show, this is not a normal family. I got to hope this isn't a normal family.
I am very concerned about, you know what, remember when Elian Gonzalez came to this country, okay? And he came alone under these very traumatic circumstances. His mother and I don't know whether it's his mother, his stepfather had both perished in the crossing, and his father, who had every right to raise this child, wanted him back. And people said, oh, he's an unfit parent because he's Cuban and he supports the regime. You see my point? It just seems to me we ought to be very careful before we decide who's defective if they deliberately perpetuated a hoax upon the authorities for the purpose of enriching themselves or even getting attention. Certainly, that should be dealt with. But if you're saying we don't like them because they do things we would not do as parents, makes me very uncomfortable.
No, we're talking about the law. You know, the fact that National Guard, you know, units and the FBI, FAA, I'm sure, was involved. This is lying to federal agencies.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But what I'm hearing is that people don't like them because they want to be on a reality show, and we think that's bad. And I'm saying,
no, but those are circumstances that go into the totality of the picture of, you know, why they may have broken the, you know, federal law.
You know, I think people that put their kids. You know, it's one thing if you want to be a media meatball, right, and go on reality shows. That's cool. That's cool. That's how you want to make a check. God bless you. But there's something wrong with you to put your kid out there in front of the camera, you know, to exploit your kid like that to get a check. Keep your kids off television.
And out of the balloons.
In other news, Magic Johnson goes in on Isaiah Thomas in an upcoming book. The name of the book is called When the Game Was Ours. And, you know, he co-authors it with Larry Bird. Now, Magic Johnson's talking the talk about Isaiah's gossiping mouth and about blackballing dude from the 1992 Olympic Dream Team. Oh, snap. A-Train, give us the over and under, please.
Yes, sir. This you know, this story broke recently. Apparently, Magic and Bird are writing a book called When the Game Was Ours, which is out on November 4th. And Magic accuses Isaiah Thomas of spreading rumors about Magic being, you know, on the down low after he came clean with his HIV positive results in 1991-92 season. He also talks about how basically none of the other superstars in the league liked Isaiah enough to want him on the 92 Dream Team. You know, he said that, you know, Michael Jordan didn't want to play with him. Scottie Pippen wanted no part of him. Bird wasn't pushing for him. Karl Malone didn't want him. You know, who was saying we need this guy? Nobody. And so, you know, they, you know, Isaiah and Magic famously, you know, would kiss each other on the cheeks, you know, on center court in 1988. So, you know, at one point they were tight friends, and now it seems like the friendship has completely unraveled.
But why? That's the part I don't. I mean, first of all, I did not realize the NBA was high school.
It is.
But on the other hand, I still don't understand why he's so angry with. Why is Magic so angry with Isaiah Thomas now?
Yeah,
bringing this out. I mean, why now?
I don't know. Isaiah was actually very specific to note that Larry Bird actually didn't say anything bad about Isaiah in the book. He's like, I have no beef with Larry. And, you know, here's the guy that I thought was my friend and Magic, who actually used to talk smack about. Magic and Larry hated each other before there was actually a Converse sneaker taping in French Lick, Indiana, when apparently, you know, Bird and Magic hit it off, and they've been friends ever since. And it's like, from that Converse commercial, it seems as though Isaiah and Magic, you know, grew further apart.
For me, you got all these people who have enormous talent and enormous egos. And it is interesting to find out that these people can be friends at some point. Every once in a while, you end up with this eruption, like when Dr. J got into it with Larry Bird in that famous fist fight. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I think that it's very difficult to have these people with enormous amounts of talent and ego just stand up and say, you know what, that guy's good. He's as good as me. He's better than me. I just don't see that in the NBA very often. Frankly, I'm going to be honest, I don't see that in many sports.
Jimmy, what do you think?
I don't know. It's high school. It's conduct unbecoming. And it's just disappointing to see, frankly, a bunch of men get down like this. You know, it's crazy. I'm waiting for them to start greasing their faces.
Grown
take
men.
Off their shoes.
Grown men.
Put the hair in a ponytail, baby.
I'm
just waiting for
really
the reality show.
Unbecoming. It's really, exactly. The reality show. Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. I don't. Sad. Man up. Man up, homie. Thanks, everybody.
Well, for the record, I just think it's important to say Isaiah insists he did not spread any such rumors.
Right.
He insists that is not true. And he also says he's very hurt by this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a wrap. I want to thank you so much for coming out and do the barbershop. I have to kick it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com. He's also a presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. He joined us from our Washington, D.C. studios. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist, and he writes for CNN.com and the San Diego Union-Tribune, and he joined us from San Diego. And we're also joined by Gustavo Arellano. He writes the Ask a Mexican column for the Orange County Weekly, and he joined us from KUCI in Irvine, California. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Gracias.
Adios.
Yep.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Brecton Booker, Monica Evstatieva, Jasmine Garst, Irva Gunja, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Arjun Hutchins, Jennifer Longmire-Wright, and Jack Zahora. Our interns are Monica Anderson and Hope Lehman. Our planning editor is Luis Clemens. Our senior editors are J.J. Sutherland and Alicia Montgomery. The program is directed by Rob Sachs. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more on Monday.